Hello and welcome to this short audio version of the web talk for Sunday the 27th of September. I trust and pray that you'll be blessed and that God will be glorified during this short service together. Now, to refocus our minds as we approach God in worship, let us hear from his word. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory for ever and ever. Amen. With those words from Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 15 through to 17, echoing in our mind, let us now come before Almighty God in prayer. Let us pray. Merciful, loving and eternal Heavenly Father, as we approach you in prayer, we thank you for this opportunity to once again assemble and spend time worshipping you. We thank you, Lord, that by being able to do so, we are greatly blessed, because it is only by pausing to reflect upon who you are, upon your greatness, and acknowledge you for who you really are, the Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, that we, O Lord, can be truly blessed. Such is your magnificence, O Lord, that we simply cannot comprehend you. In every way, you are beyond our understanding. This way, this world of which we are part, and all that lies beyond it are evidence of your power, your might and your majesty, but we cannot comprehend how you were able to make all of this out of nothing. Nor can we comprehend how you sustain it all. We know but a very small fraction of your creation. Despite our technical abilities, there are vast tracts of this world still unknown to us. But there's not a star, a planet, a life form, nor atom unknown to you. We cannot comprehend how you are ever present and everywhere all of the time. We cannot comprehend how you have no beginning and will have no end, that you are eternal and unchanging. We cannot comprehend how your knowledge is perfect and that there is nothing you do not know. There are no discoveries that you have yet to make. But as incomprehensible as things such as these are to us, they are minuscule when compared to your plan of salvation. Because of our sin, Lord, we are an offence to you, deserving only of your righteous wrath, but yet, rather than simply make us face what we rightly deserve, you made a way by which we can be saved. Your Son, Jesus Christ, paid the penalty of sin, so that all who trust in him do not have to. He died to take away our sin. He died to make us good, so that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Heavenly Father, when we consider these things, the only appropriate response is to worship you. Forgive us, therefore, when we don't, and instead when we try to shrink you down to our level, whereby we think of you in terms we can grasp, and thereby we impose our limitations on you. Forgive us for believing that there are things which are impossible for you, when in reality the only thing you cannot do is fail. Heavenly Father, help us now to acknowledge you for who you really are, and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. I now want to read to you from God's word. So, if you have your Bibles at hand, can I encourage you to open them at our passage of scripture this day, which is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 1, where we'll begin reading from verse 1. So that is 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we will begin reading at verse 1. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favour in your eyes." Then she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. In the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." When her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." "Do what seems best to you," her husband Elkanah told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "Pardon me, my lord. As surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. And we thank God for this reading, for his truth. And we end our reading there at verse 24. Today, in our Bible, or in our study on the people of faith in the Bible, we turn to a character who might not automatically come to mind if you were asked to name people in this category. But yet this person, one who, although only mentioned in a couple of chapters of the Bible, provides us with a stunning example of faith. The person I'm referring to is Hannah, the woman who gave birth to Samuel, who became a towering figure in Israel's history. The story of Hannah is set against the darkness of Israel's spiritual state at that time. As a nation, they had drifted far from the days of Moses and Joshua, where unfaithfulness to God was the exception, not the rule. Sadly, by Hannah's time, however, the opposite was true. Not even Israel's so-called religious leaders were faithful to God. Eli, the chief priest, was a weak-willed man who was unwilling to rein in his two extremely wicked sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who were also priests. So with no effective spiritual leadership, Israel was like a ship without a rudder, adrift and seemingly heading for the rocks. That is not to say that the people did not believe in God, but that rather they believed in him in how they wanted to, and worshipped him only for what they thought they could get out of him. In other words, many of them simply went through the outward motions of religious ritual in the belief that this alone would keep God on side. Sounds familiar in our society today, doesn't it? But not all of the people had abandoned God in this way. There were still some who kept the faith in sharp contrast to those around them. Hannah, along with her husband Elkanah, were such people. And it was them that God chose to use in a mighty way to bring his people back from the point of spiritual destruction. Hannah, we are told, was one of two wives that Elkanah had. Being named first suggests that he had married her first, followed sometime later by Peninnah. The reason for this probably lay in the fact that Hannah was unable to have children, so in order to secure the family line, Elkanah then wed Peninnah, who, as we are told, did have children. Bigamy, though mentioned in the Bible, is never condoned by it. God's perfect plan was and still is for marriage to be between one man and one woman. So when cases of bigamy are mentioned in the biblical narrative, it is not being seen or to be seen as God having had a change of mind, but rather the foolishness of man in disobeying God. Indeed, if you look at the instances where bigamy is mentioned, the problems that it causes are very much to the fore. The story of Elkanah and his domestic arrangements is no different, because in this relationship, both women had what the other craved. Hannah had Elkanah's love but not his children, whilst Peninnah had his children but not his love. The outcome of this was that both women were unhappy, but Hannah more so. Therefore, in the opening verses of 1 Samuel chapter 1, we are confronted with Hannah's steadfast faith in the midst of misery. Hannah, we are told, was unable to bear children, and whilst that still causes terrible heartache today, back then it carried additional hardship. Women who could not have children were seen as failures by society and even suspected of having done something terrible, so as to incur the wrath of God in this way. So childlessness then carried with it these terrible stigmas. Hannah's situation, however, was made worse by the fact that Peninnah had no trouble whatsoever having children. And as this passage makes clear, she did not miss an opportunity to rub it in, as we might say. The family home, therefore, would have resounded to the noise of children, but they weren't hers, and this would only have amplified her heartache. Elkanah, to his credit, did not treat her as a failure, quite the opposite in fact. But his love could not compensate for the emptiness and shame that she felt. It quite literally broke her heart. But despite having to endure the terrible stigma of not being able to have children, Hannah remained steadfast in her faith in God. Year by year, we are told that she, along with the rest of Elkanah's family, made their way to Shiloh, to the place where the tabernacle of the Lord was situated, to worship God. Israelite men were required to attend three annual feasts, and it is most likely that Elkanah took his family with him on these occasions, but that is not to suggest that they did not worship God more regularly, as Shiloh was only about 25 miles from their home. However, despite Hannah's misery, she never turned against God, but only to him. She never held her circumstances against God, but always brought them to him. Elkanah couldn't grasp the depth of her despair at not being able to have children, so she poured out her heart to the Lord, who understands all things. How many years Hannah was unable to have children, we do not know. So in all probability, for a number of years, Hannah would have repeatedly poured out her soul to God, only to have been met with silence, as it were, from him. But that did not demolish her faith. Instead, she remained steadfast, despite her misery. I think Hannah's steadfast faith in the midst of her misery can teach us a couple of important lessons. The first of these is patience. We live in a culture where we are used to things happening at the flick of a switch or the pressing of a button. Therefore, if things do not happen almost instantaneously as we want, we get frustrated. Unfortunately, we can transfer this attitude to our faith in God, whereby we expect answers to our prayers instantly. And when God doesn't do what we do that, we doubt him, or we accuse him of not being true to his nature. But need I remind you that God's ways are not our ways, and that he does not work according to our timeline, but to his own perfect one. It may appear that God is not listening, but he always is. It may appear that he is not in a hurry, but he always is on time. The second thing is, what we want and what we need may be two entirely different things. And whilst our Heavenly Father will always give us what we need, he will not always give us what we want, especially if it is something that he knows will not benefit us. God may not give us what we earnestly pray for. So in those instances, we need to ask God to help us accept his will in the matter. It is only by doing this that we can avoid the pitfalls of anger and bitterness towards God. But you know, whilst God may not answer all our prayers positively, there is one that he will always do so. When we come before him in desperation, seeking his forgiveness, whilst acknowledging not only our sin, but also our inability to deal with it, we are assured that he will always provide us with the forgiveness we seek. This is something that he will not deny anyone whenever they humbly seek it. So Hannah is a good example of steadfast faith in the midst of misery. But that is not all, because as we discover in this passage, another thing which stands out is her obedience to God. As we know, God eventually answered Hannah's prayers positively. She conceived and gave birth to Samuel. This was a child that she had longed for, that she had dreamt of having for as long as she could remember. So one can only imagine her overwhelming joy. For a period of between 3 to 5 years, she devoted herself to the important task of raising her son during the most formative years of his life. When scientists tell us that 90% of the personality is developed, behind every great man is a great woman, they say. And that starts when we take our first breath and lie in our mother's arms. So ladies, if you think you have a lesser role than men in God's kingdom, you could not be more wrong. If God has ordained for you to be married and to have children, then you have one of the most important roles. You are quite literally the architects of men, for God has entrusted you with the role of nurturing children through their most formative years. It was in Hannah's arms that Samuel first learned about God and the basic truths of life. It was in her presence that he first experienced unconditional, steadfast love. It was on her lap that he first learned how to approach God in prayer and worship. It was by her example that he witnessed faith in action and learned to trust God above all else. Samuel only became the man that he did because of the mother that he had. And that was despite the fact that she only had a relatively short time with him, because as we know, she had vowed to dedicate him to God. Every day with him was therefore precious. But when the day came for her to fulfill her vow, no matter how painful it was for her, she did so. She brought Samuel and gave him to Eli, but you entrusted him to God, content in the knowledge that he was in safe hands. Hannah's obedience reminds us that when we put our faith in Christ, if we are to be obedient to the one we have promised to follow, then we will also have sacrifices to make. Those sacrifices can come in all shapes and sizes, some of them being easy to make and others being very painful. But if we are to remain true to our Lord and grow in our faith, then we will have to make them, cutting away anything that hinders us. And if we are not willing to do so, it suggests that the only allegiance we have is to ourselves. We also need to remember that as Hannah gave her precious son to the Lord, he gave his precious son to save us. God promised humanity a saviour, and he did not balk at the cost of fulfilling that promise when the time came. His precious son, his only son, Jesus Christ, died to pay the penalty of sin for all who put their faith and trust in him. Therefore, whatever he asks us to sacrifice for him is nothing, absolutely nothing, by comparison. Let us once again pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Hannah and how it reminds us, O Lord, of how you can be trusted above all else. It reminds us, O Heavenly Father, how we can trust you even in the darkest moments of our lives, that you will not turn us away, Lord, and that you will give us the strength to endure, if only we will submit to your will and accept your will in these matters. We also thank you for reminding us, Lord, that whilst we may have to make sacrifices, there is nothing compared to what you did, the sacrifice you made in order to save us. Help us, Lord, to be people who submit to you in all things, in all areas of our lives. And Lord, as we continue in our prayers, we bring our prayers of intercession to you. And we take this opportunity to remember our country before you at this time. Once again, O Lord, COVID-19 is casting a darkening shadow over our nation as once again the infection rates continue to rise rapidly. Heavenly Father, we appeal to your mercy and your grace to spare us a second wave of this virus, with all of the devastating consequences that such a thing will entail. We pray that people throughout the United Kingdom and Ireland will recognise that government measures put in place to curb this virus are only effective if we abide by them. May this notion that they are nonsense and do not apply to everyone cease to be our reality. We pray for those working on the front line of the battle against this virus, the NHS staff, the emergency services and the care sector staff. Grant them and their families your protection against this virus, we pray, and enable them to meet the increasing demands that are being placed upon them. We pray for all those who have lost loved ones to this virus, and we ask that you would comfort them as only you can. We pray for our government as they try to find measures that will effectively curb the spread of this virus without crippling our economy in the process. Grant them the wisdom, O Lord, to do this. We pray for all those who have lost their jobs as a result of this pandemic, and we ask that they would be able to find employment that enables them to meet the financial demands they have each month. We also take this opportunity, Lord, to remember all of our young people who have recently gone off to university, some returning and some starting their first year. Bless them, we pray, in this climate of uncertainty. Keep them safe. Grant them wisdom in the decisions that they have to make, and enable them, O Lord, to settle into their new environment. Finally, O Lord, we continue to remember all those of our number connected to Clogher and Glenhoy Presbyterian churches who are currently unwell. Bless them with your healing touch, O Lord. And, O Lord, grant them, along with their loved ones, your comfort and reassurance. These things we ask now, O Lord, in our glorious Saviour's name. Amen. Now, as we come to the close of our short service, I will once again close in the traditional manner by saying the benediction. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, he who calls you is faithful. And may the blessing of God Almighty, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest upon and remain with you forever. Amen.